Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
As barbaric as the attacks in Paris and Beirut were by ISIS this month, and there's the publication this week in ISIS's glossy magazine of a taunting picture claiming to be the soda can bomb that brought down the Russian plane over Egypt's Sinai Desert. As barbaric as all that is, consider the Syrian city of Raqqa this week, the ISIS self-proclaimed capital, where it is apparently open season for airstrikes. 33 militants in Syria this week have been killed by airstrikes since last Friday, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a monitoring group. But there have been Russian airstrikes, French airstrikes, British and U.S. airstrikes. In meetings in Washington next week, French President François Hollande is expected to press President Obama to increase American support in the fight against ISIS. Noah Bonsi, senior analyst on Syria for the International Crisis Group, is here in the studio. Is there any precedent for one city being a target of all these military air forces, apparently with a loose kind of coordination?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm not sure if there's a precedent. What I am sure of is that the quantity of strikes here is not really what's going to make a difference. And we can say that in general, as we found over the last year of American airstrikes targeting ISIS in Syria and Iraq, is that airstrikes alone are going to be insufficient to make a great deal of difference to fundamentally weaken the organization. So this uptick we've seen coming from all these different directions is not really going to get at the root of the issue, to say the least.
And if you look at the Americans, you say the Americans haven't had much impact. The French are, until now, not the front line of this attack against ISIS, and the British have been involved, but not, again, the major player. The Russians, though, actually have experience doing this, and in Chechnya, they bombed the city of Grozny into a gravel pit. In a sense, that's really the only kind of tactic that's going to work here.
Well, I would disagree with that, actually. I would say that what's proven effective against this organization in the past, and, you know, ISIS, is the current embodiment of what we used to call al-Qaeda in Iraq, right? And in 2007, 2008, we saw al-Qaeda in Iraq dramatically reduced in power to the point, to the verge of defeat, not by airstrikes or by brunt foreign military force, but by credible local Sunni Arab forces who, in cooperation with the U.S. military, were able to really sort of town by town dramatically reduce the organization's power and drive it out of towns that it had been completely controlling throughout much of Sunni Iraq. It's the credibility of these local forces that is crucial. Weakening a group like this cannot be accomplished solely from the air, and it cannot be accomplished by foreign forces, which tend to, both the airstrikes and the presence of foreign forces in the lead on the ground. The civilian casualties that those create tremendously helped the narrative of a jihadi group such as the Islamic State, ISIS. And ultimately, the benefit that ISIS gets in recruiting can compensate for whatever immediate material and manpower losses it suffers.
So you see ISIS saying, bring it on with the airstrikes, and François Hollande is doing the bidding of ISIS here.
I don't know if I would go quite that far, but let's put it this way. It is not foreign airstrikes that ISIS fundamentally fears. If that was what it was worried about, it would not be conducting these attacks outside of Syrian and Iraqi territory. It clearly knows that these airstrikes will follow. Look, if airstrikes were the answer, the Syrian regime has been conducting brutal, nonstop airstrikes against opposition-held territory held by groups that, for the most part, oppose ISIS, for several years, and this is not fundamentally weakened his armed opposition. In fact, arguably, this opposition has over time increased in power. So it's not about airstrikes. And we should also get to the point that while there's a shared foe here between Russia on one hand and the United States, France, and others, their priorities differ. And Russia's priority is to prop up Bashar Assad's regime, his rule personally, it seems, whereas the United States and others view, correctly, I would say, Bashar Assad's brutality in conducting this war and his continued rule as a key source of recruitment for ISIS and ultimately a major part of the problem. So this is why, despite the fact that all of these external forces do indeed oppose the Islamic State and are to some extent striking it, the fact that they have such fundamental disagreement over how to solve the overall problem of Syria helps explain why there's not really significant coordination.
So no coordination. The attacks appear to be more face-saving revenge gestures than they are a coherent attempt to roll back ISIS. And ISIS doesn't appear to be afraid of them at all. Does that sum it up?
I would say that sums it up. And to be fair, this is not an easy, this is certainly not an easy problem to address. But one way to put it, and to focus on the United States for a moment, what the United States wants in terms of its policy to degrade and ultimately destroy ISIS, as the president has put it, via a military approach that focuses exclusively on that organization, prioritizes that above a serious effort to address the problem of Assad rule in Syria, this is probably not, it's probably not possible to accomplish this goal. Without addressing the problem of Assad rule in Syria and achieving a political transition there that would help get Sunni Arabs in Syria, rebel groups that control much of the country and oppose ISIS, that would encourage them to shift the brunt of their military force against ISIS, that would enable them to do so, because right now they're fighting a two-front war, can only dedicate so much to fighting the Islamic State. Ultimately, you cannot completely separate between these two problems, between the regime problem on the one hand and ISIS on the other. And that's an incredibly difficult policy challenge.
Is the end game here some sort of partition of the region where you have a Sunni state from North Africa to Baghdad, a Kurdish state, and some kind of Shia state involving pieces of Syria and Iran? I don't know what ISIS wants. What are the coalition of forces that are fighting ISIS want?
The coalition of forces fighting ISIS and the warring parties on all sides here accepting ISIS agree that a breakup of the Syrian nation state is not desirable. It's something they all seek to prevent despite their conflicting agendas and priorities. And frankly, if you just look at the map, the demographics of this area, cutting cleanly along those lines is impossible and would create all kinds of problems with displacement and ethnic and sectarian, continuing ethnic and sectarian warfare, which would end up continuing to fuel extremism problems moving forward. So there isn't a clean answer here.
And that's maybe precisely what ISIS is exploiting right now. Noah Bonsi is senior analyst on Syria for the International Crisis Group. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.